Welcome to the seventh installment in an advanced overview of Hilchot Bishul based off of Yosef Tzvirimon Sefer Shabbos. In the past six shiurim, we've discussed the biblical prohibitions of cooking on Shabbos and the relevant concepts in the orbit of the biblical prohibition of cooking on Shabbos. In this year and the following two shiurim, we're now going to transition to a new topic within the category of Bishul, within the category of cooking. Until now, what we've been discussing has been roughly the content of Shulchan Aruch Siman Shin Yud Ches, Shulchan Aruch section 318, which deals with the biblical prohibition of cooking and the associated concepts. Now, we're moving on to rabbinic prohibitions related to cooking on Shabbos. And the concepts we're going to discuss here are the topics of Simonim Reish Nun Gimel, Reish Nun Dalid, and Reish Nun Zayin, sections 253, 254, and 257 of Shulchan Aruch Erechaim. So Chazal, the Talmudic sages, forbade a number of actions which are connected to heating up food on Shabbos. Some of those prohibitions and some of those restrictions are a function of the fact they were concerned that given that you want to preserve the food's heat, you might come to stir the coals. Because at least in the ancient context, what you would cook is by using coals, not by using a stove or an oven. So by stirring the coals in order to raise the heat, you'd violate the biblical prohibition of making a fire on Shabbos. So that's broad concern number one, and it's called Gzeira Shem Yechat B'Gecholim, a prohibition or restriction made with the concern that you might come to stir coals. Another concern is Mechsi Kimavashal. Even though you won't come to necessarily violate any prohibition, Mexican vashal means it looks like you're cooking. And the concern with Mexican vashal is that even though you know you're not cooking, other people who see you doing whatever action you're doing might think that you're cooking. And they may then do some action which they think is identical to the action you're doing, but really it's not, and they'll be cooking on Shabbos. A classical example of this, which we encountered in the last year, is the idea of magus, the idea of stirring. You're not meant to stir a pot that's on the fire on Shabbos, even if it's completely cooked. And the idea being, if it's completely cooked, your stirring will not add any further cooking value. But if people see you stirring your completely cooked pot that's on the fire, they'll think that you can also stir a pot that's not completely cooked. And as a result, your action will have led them to inadvertently have violated Shabbos. So there we have it, our two primary categories, Gzeira Shem Yechat B'Yecholim, which is a prohibition that the rabbis were concerned you might come to stir the coals, you might come to actually do some action of raising the heat or raising the fire, and Mechsi Kimavashel, which is that you'll take some action which looks like you're cooking. So here the rabbis came up with three broad categories of extra prohibition or extra stringency when it comes to heating food on Shabbos. The first is discussed in Shulchan Aruch Erechaim Simration Gimel, section 253, and that is called shihia, which means that you're not meant to leave a food that was already on the fire before Shabbos on the fire in order that it continue to cook or heat up on Shabbos. For example, if you're cooking a chicken soup, and let's say it takes 2 hours to cook a chicken soup, and you put on your chicken soup on the fire, let's say a half hour before Shabbos, shihia would say that you wouldn't be allowed to maintain the chicken soup on the fire. And the same would go for any other dish. So we're going to see there's a lot of nuance here, and it depends how cooked the dish is, what type of dish it is. It might make a difference if you have a blech, if you have a metal sheet over your stove, it might not make a difference. We're going to get into all those details, but the fundamental issue is that shihia, leaving something on the stove, is something that the rabbis are concerned about. Next, we have the issue of hachazara, which means returning something to the fire on Shabbos, or similarly, nesina lechatchila, putting something on the fire to begin with. This is also discussed in Simon Gimel, section 253 of Shulchan Aruch. And the idea would be, fundamentally speaking, let's say you have your chicken soup again, and your chicken soup was fully cooked or partially cooked before Shabbos, and it's on the fire, and then you took your chicken soup off the stove. So fundamentally, you're not meant to put the chicken soup back on the fire. Now, we're going to see there are exceptions to this, but fundamentally speaking, Hachazara says that you should not return things to the fire. Similarly, let's say you had a cold chicken soup in the fridge. It was fully cooked. Hachazara would say that you're not allowed to put this cold chicken soup, even though it's fully cooked, onto the fire on Shabbos. Finally, the rabbis came up with a third restriction, a third limitation called hatmana, which means insulation, meaning to say that you're not meant to insulate a pot on Shabbos itself, and in some cases you're not meant to insulate the pot even before Shabbos. So that would mean, let's say you have a pot that's on the fire on Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to cover said pot with towels. And before Shabbos, you wouldn't be allowed to insulate the pot with something that has heat-producing properties. And this is all discussed, this issue of Hatmana is discussed in Shulchan Aruch Siman Resh Nun Zayin, section 257. So in the remainder of today's shiur, we're going to discuss the idea of Shehiya, the idea of leaving a pot on the fire from before Shabbos into Shabbos. Many practical questions emerge in the case of Shehiya, but let's consider four. First, is it permitted to leave something on the fire from Erev Shabbos if the food is not completely cooked? Second, would it be permissible to leave said foods on a flame which is covered by a tin tray, what we would call blech? Third, what, if any, sorts of foods are you allowed to leave on an electric hot plate on Erev Shabbos? And fourth, is it permissible to leave cold soup on a hot plate if the cold soup is not going to be heated by the time Shabbos comes in? Let's begin our discussion of Shehiya, of leaving a food on the fire, by discussing the most stringent, the most problematic case, which would be leaving food on an open, uncovered flame. The Mishnah in the first parak of Shabbos deals with a wide-ranging machlekes, a wide-ranging dispute between the houses of Shammai and the house of Hillel with respect to Shvisas Kelim, with respect to whether or not your utensils, your vessels, need to rest on Shabbos. This is a pretty wide-ranging dispute, but one of its applications is cooking. According to Beis Shammai, just as a person is obligated to not work on Shabbos, similarly has to make sure that his vessels, his items, the thing he owns, will not perform malacha on Shabbos. So, for example, one application of this is that, let's say you have vats full of dye, or vats full of food that's being pickled. According to Beis Shammai, it would be problematic for your vats to be dyeing wool over Shabbos, or for your vats to be pickling pickles over Shabbos, even though the vats are effectively passive. In contrast, Beis Hillel holds that the obligation to rest on Shabbos is only pertains to the person, and not to the person's vessels, not to the person's items. So Beis Hillel hold that you would be able to leave wool dyeing in your vats on Shabbos, or you would be allowed to pickle pickles on Shabbos. In the context of cooking, Beis Shammai forbid placing a dish on the stove on Erev Shabbos such that it would continue to cook on Shabbos, given that a person's stove also needs to rest on Shabbos. In contrast, Beis Hillel hold that there's no biblical prohibition to leave something on the fire, even if your food is not completely cooked. La'alacha, we rule like Beis Hillel, that a person is not obligated to make sure that his utensils rest on Shabbos. And therefore, there's no biblical prohibition to leave a dish on the fire on Erev Shabbos in order that it cook through into Shabbos. Nonetheless, the Gemara in Shabbos, after Chesem and Beis, says that Beis Hillel would admit that there is a rabbinic prohibition, there is a rabbinic problem with leaving your food in the fire. The Gemara goes as follows. Tan Rabbanon, the rabbis taught in the Braisa, Lisanal, the Isha Kadir Asasius with the Termusin. A woman should not fill up a pot with wheat and with lupines. Lupines are bean, which is similar to pea. Vitaniach letechatan Erev Shabbos mchashecha, and place said pot into the oven as it begins to get dark. Lema beishamayi v'loy beishilel. Samara suggests, should we say that this teaching, which says that a woman should not fill up a vessel with food and put it into the oven close to Shabbos, follows Beis Shammai, in that this is only problematic because the issue of Shvisas Kelim, that your stove will be doing labor on Shabbos, but Beis Hillel would permit this action? So Gemara says no. Afilu Teima Beis Hillel, even if you'll suggest that this brisa goes into court in accordance with Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel would still think that it's a problematic action. It would be rabbinically prohibited to put your pot into the oven lest you stir the coals. Meaning to say that Beis Hillel also agreed there's a rabbinic prohibition to put a pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos such that the pot will continue to cook on the Shabbos. The concern is, since you want to speed up the heating process, you might come to throw the coals, and thereby you'll have cooked on Shabbos. This prohibition is called the Isser of Shehiya. Nowadays, you might think, since we don't have coals, there'd be no issue of Shehiya. There'd be no issue of Echita B'Gecholm stirring the coals. However, even on our electric and gas stoves, there is a concern that you might come to turn the dial to raise the heat of the fire, and therefore, Shehiya also applies to contemporary stoves. So we've learned that there's an Isser of Shehiya, that there is a potential problem of leaving a dish on the stove from before Shabbos onto Shabbos. But does the Isser of Shehiya apply in all cases? So if we look at Masechta Shabbos, the Mishnah of Lamed Vav Amud Beis, we see that Shehiya's scope is limited. Shehiya only applies in certain contexts. The Mishnah says, Kiras Hasikua B'Kashar Gvava, if you fired up your stove with straw or with twigs, Neistim Olea Tavshel, you'd be allowed to put a dish on the stove, when you could leave such a dish on the stove through Shabbos. But if you fired up your stove with olive pulp or with wood, you shouldn't put a dish on the stove until you've either swept out the contents of the stove, and as you've swept out the olive pulp or the wood, or alternatively, you've covered the olive pulp or wood with ash. So what does this Mishnah mean? So straw and twigs are flammable materials which can't turn into coals, meaning they burn and then they go out. You can't mix them and you can't raise their heat. They burn for a very defined period of time. In contrast, olive pulp and wood are flammable materials which can be turned into coals, and therefore you can stir them and raise the fire by stirring the coals. Chazal specifically forbade leaving a dish on a stove which one could raise the fire on, given that it was heated with flammable materials which are subject to being adjusted. However, they permitted leaving a dish on a stove whose temperature is not adjustable. The Mishnah adds that even if you heated up your stove with a material which is flammable that you would be able to adjust, like olive pulp or wood, if you swept out the coals or you covered them with ash, then it would be permitted to put a pot on such a stove. Given that in such a case, there's no concern for adjusting the heat, and we're going to need to understand how it is in the contemporary reality, you would create a gerufa uktuma, you could create a stove which is considered as if the coals or as if its heating material is swept out or covered. But the point is that the scope of Shehiya is such that Shehiya only applies in a case where the temperature is adjustable. If, however, you have heat, but the heat is not adjustable, then Chazal didn't prohibit leaving something on the stove. Now, there might even be a further limitation on Shehiya, meaning Shehiya might only apply in an even more restricted set of circumstances. In other cases, Shehiya will be permitted. It will be permitted to leave a dish on the fire on Shabbos, or before Shabbos, into Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, brings the opinion of a Tana named Chananya, who says that Shehiya does not apply to a dish which has already reached the threshold of Meichel Ben Drusai before Shabbos. We learn in the Braisa, Tanya Chananya Oimer, Kol Shehu K'Meichel Ben Drusai. Chananya says anything which has hit the threshold of Ben Drusai, Mutter La'ashoy Se'al Gabekira, you're allowed to leave it on top of your stove, the afalpish in gufuk tuma, even though your fire or the flammable material is not swept away or covered. We saw previously in early Shurim that Ben Drusai was a bandit who would eat his food only partially cooked. According to the Rambam, Ben Drusai ate his food half cooked, and according to Rashi, he ate it one third cooked. Rambam says chatzi bishulay, and Rashi says shlish bishulay. So Chananya holds that Shehiya doesn't apply to a food which is already cooked to the threshold of Ben Drusai. The reason being that when food is cooked to the point that it's already edible, or at least you could eat it if you were in a pinch, then a person is not going to be so motivated to speed up the heating process, which is the concern of Shehiya to begin with. So we see Chananya is lenient. Chananya tells us that you're allowed to leave something on a fire, even if the fire is not gar fekatum, even if the fire could be adjusted, so long as the food has already hit the threshold of Ben Drusai. This is a pretty big leniency with respect to the rabbinic prohibition of Shehiya. However, the Gemara in the Aflam of the Lavam Beis, in a very complicated discussion of the Mishnah there, raises the possibility that it could be that the Chachamim, that the sages, the majority opinion, disputes Chananya. And they hold that you shouldn't leave a food on a stove which is not garfikatum, whose temperature is adjustable, so long as any additional cooking will enhance the food. Meaning, even if it's a mevushel cold circuit, even if it's completely cooked, so long as additional cooking will help it out, as long as additional cooking will improve it, which is called mitstamik v'yafalei, it would be prohibited to leave the dish on the fire unless it's mitstamik v'ralei, unless additional cooking injures the food, in which case you're not going to want to stir the coals, you're not going to want to raise or adjust the temperature. So as a result of this Gemara, the Rishonim argue as to how we pask and as to how we rule. Rashi and Tosos ruled like Chananya, and they said that Shehiya, the prohibition to leave food on the stove, does not apply if the food is already hit Mechel Ben Dursai. So they're lenient like Chananya. In contrast, the Rif and the Rambam both ruled that the Halacha does not follow Chananya, and therefore, according to them, you would not be permitted to leave a dish on a adjustable stove if the dish is not completely cooked. La'alacha, the Shulchan Aruch brings both opinions without deciding between them. He brings both the lenient opinion of Chananya, which is taken by Rashi and Tosos, and the more stringent possible opinion, the Chamim, which is advocated by the Rif and the Rambam. In contrast, the Ramah is surprisingly, in this case, lenient, because the Ramah is usually more stringent than the Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah is lenient like Chananya. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch inside, in Siman Reish Gimel Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch says, Kira Shiyasu Hikdeira. If you have a stove which is made like a pot, and when we say made like a pot, back in the day, the way that the stoves were made was that there would be an insert over the fire, you'd have some coals on the ground, and then you'd have a little hole in a cutout insert, a table-like insert, and you'd put the pot into the insert, and it would be warmed by the coals or whatever flammable material you put at the bottom of the oven. So if you have such a stove, which is analogous to a contemporary stove for halach purposes, also Shulchan Aruch says it would be forbidden to put a dish on this stove while it's still day as an Erev Shabbos and leave it on the stove through Shabbos unless the dish is completely cooked, and so long as it remains in the fire, its quality deteriorates. So here we see the Shulchan Aruch quoting the opinion of the Chachamim against Chananya. But if it's been partially cooked, but not completely cooked, or even if it's completely cooked, but additional cooking improves its quality, we're concerned that you might come to stir the coals, you might come to adjust the temperature. And therefore it'd be forbidden to leave a not fully cooked dish or a fully cooked dish which remaining on the fire will improve its quality. You can't leave it on the fire unless you swept out the coals, meaning you rendered the stove such that the temperature is not adjustable. And how do you do that? So Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Hainu, which means, either you took out all the coals, or you did Kitima. So what's Kitima? He explains, the Hainu, Shekisa ha-gecholim be'efer, that you covered the coals with ash, lema'it chuma, to lower their heat. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim, that's the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, which is stringent and says that in most cases, Shehiyah is going to be problematic. In most cases, you can't leave a dish on a fire which is adjustable. However, then the Shulchan Aruch quotes the more lenient opinion of Chananya, which is advocated by Rashi and Tosfos. And he says, V'yesh oimrim, but some say, Shekol shenis bashal kamaychal ben drusai, if something has been cooked up to the food of ben drusai, even as we saw, according to Rashi, that would mean one-third cooked, or according to the Rambam, that would mean half-cooked. And since we're dealing with an Isser Derabban with rabbinic prohibition, you could be lenient and follow Rashi in principle according to this opinion. Your alternatively, it was fully cooked. Umitzdamik v'yafaloi, but be remaining on the fire will improve its quality. Mutter l'ashayisa agabikira, according to this opinion, you would be allowed to leave it upon the stove, afilu ena gufo k'toma, even if it's not swept or covered, meaning even if the fire is still adjustable. And there are marai tzaga v'nog v'lohokel k'sor achreina. The Rambam says the Ashkenazi practice is to be lenient like Hananya. So the Shulchan Aruch brought both opinions. Who does the Shulchan Aruch passing like? So Menachas Cohen argues the Shulchan Aruch follows Hananya's lenient opinion. And the Kaf HaChaim and the Bi Omer say, even if it's the case the Shulchan Aruch may not follow Hananya's lenient opinion, the Minog is to be lenient like Hananya. So according to this, it would be mutter for Ashkenazim and for most Sfardim to leave a dish which had hit Meichel Ben Drusoy before Shabbos, to leave such a dish on the fire, even if the fire is uncovered, and even if the fire is adjustable, because we're not concerned that you're going to adjust the temperature once your food is already partially cooked. It's important to note, though, that when you're leaving a dish which is not fully cooked on the fire from before Shabbos into Shabbos, you have to be careful not to speed the cooking process on Shabbos. The Rishonim argue whether there's a problem to cook something, whether the category of bishul is relevant to something which is cooked to Meichel Ben Drusoy, as in it's one-third or half-cooked and not fully cooked, or once it's past that threshold, there is no issue for the cooking. The Shulchan Aruch takes a stringent approach with respect to this dispute, and he says that the Isser of bishul, the prohibition of cooking, is relevant to any food which is not completely cooked. And therefore, if you put a dish on the fire from before Shabbos and the dish is not completely cooked, you need to make sure that nobody in the house is going to take the cover off the dish or is going to move the dish around or is going to stir the dish, because taking the cover off the pot and putting the cover back on or stirring it would be considered a speeding of the cooking process. An interesting problem case for Shehiyah is how do we relate to a soup which has already been cooked? Let's say you had a chicken soup which had been cooked before Shabbos. You cooked it early Friday afternoon, put it in the fridge, and now very soon before Shabbos, you want to put that already cooked chicken soup back on the fire in order to heat it up. Would that be permissible? So we saw that there's a rule, according to most Rishonim, that's the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that yesh bishul achar bishul b'davar lach. Recooking a liquid is problematic. So for that reason, it would seem that you shouldn't leave this dish on the fire right before Shabbos, because it would violate the Isser of Shehiyah, the prohibition of Shehiyah, given that it's not considered cooked. The Chazon Ish is lenient here, and he says you would be able to put this pre-cooked cold chicken soup on the stove right before Shabbos, and there's no problem of Shehiyah here. The rationale being that although it's the case that from a halachic perspective, this soup is not considered cooked, that's only relevant with respect to the prohibition of bishul. However, with respect to the rabbinic prohibition of shehiyah, what matters is not whether it's halachically considered cooked, but rather what matters is the metzias. What matters is the reality. Is this thing actually cooked or not? And since it's actually cooked, you have much less motivation to adjust the flame. And Chazal's whole gzeira, their whole prohibition of shehiyah, was just about adjusting the flame. So Chazner says, since you're going to be less motivated to adjust the flame here, the rabbinic prohibition doesn't apply. And therefore, you wouldn't be allowed to put your pre-cooked soup on the open flame right before Shabbos. In summary, it's permissible to leave foods on an open fire before Shabbos if they are somewhat edible, which we call Meichel Ben Drusoy. In such a case, you could leave a dish on the fire even if it's cold and even if it's a liquid. However, generally speaking, the Jewish custom is to put a metal cover on top of the fire, or not to heat up these foods on a fire, but rather to heat them up on a plata, which is a Shabbos hot plate, a non-adjustable hot plate. And as we're going to learn, the virtue of putting this metal cover on top of your fire, which we call a blech, or using a plata, is that you'll be allowed to reheat foods in certain circumstances on Shabbos. So, ideally speaking, make sure that if you're heating foods on Shabbos, you're heating foods into Shabbos, that you have a blech, you have this metal sheet on top of your stove, or you have a plata, you have a Shabbos hot plate. However, this becomes relevant this dispensation which allows you to have food on an open flame if the food had been partially cooked, if it had been cooked to the threshold of edibility before Shabbos, this is a very important dispensation because it's possible that you'll be hosted at a home which does not use a plata, which does not use a Shabbos hot plate or a blech, and you should know that in such a case, you would be allowed to eat their food on Shabbos. So before moving on to the next topic, are you allowed to do shehiyah? Are you allowed to leave a dish on an open flame before Shabbos? According to the stringent opinion of the Rif and the Rambam, following the Chum and Mesach Shabbos, it would be forbidden to leave a dish on an open flame unless the dish was completely cooked and any additional cooking is going to damage the food's quality. And that's the first opinion cited in the Shulchan Aruch, which some Sfaradim follow. However, the more lenient opinion, which is that of Hananya, who's followed by Rashi and Tosfos, says that it's permissible to leave a dish, even on an open flame, so long as the dish hit the threshold of Ma'achal B'Dersai, meaning that you could eat it in a pinch. And this is the second opinion quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and ruled by the Ramah. The Ramah says that we follow Hananya. So that's Halach for Ashkenazim, and that's the minhag also for most Sfaradim. And the Chazon Ish extends the leniency to say that you'd even be able to take a cold soup, which had already been cooked before Shabbos, and put it on an open flame before Shabbos. Thus far, we've learned that even if we say shehiyah is a problem, according to Hananya, the scope of shehiyah is going to be pretty limited. Shehiyah will only apply if your food has not yet hit Ma'achal B'Dersai. Might there be a further exception to shehiyah, a further restriction on shehiyah? The Gemara in Shabbos, David Chasam and Beis, says that there's a special heter, a special leniency, which allows you to put a pot full of raw meat, or perhaps any raw dish, a pot we're going to explore, you'd be allowed to put this uncooked pot of food on the fire before Shabbos, on an open flame, and there would be no issue of shehiyah. The Gemara there in Chasam and Beis says, Hai Kidra Chaisa, consider a pot of raw food. It's permissible to leave this pot of raw food on Erev Shabbos as it's beginning to become dark inside of your oven. What's the reason? Why is there no issue with shehiyah? Given that you're not going to be able to eat that meat anyway tonight, meaning it's not going to be ready for the Friday night meal, you're not going to be thinking about the food in the pot, and therefore you're not going to come to stir the coals, you're not going to come to raise the flame. Ubashil. So if the contents of the pot were already cooked, it would also be allowed to leave the pot inside of the stove or inside of the oven. Bashil, the loy bashil. If the contents of your dish are only partially cooked, this is a controversial translation, but we'll just take the simplest translation, that if the contents of the pot are partially cooked, then osir, you would not be allowed to shehiyah. The ishad begar machaya, but if you threw a raw bone into your partially cooked dish, shapir dami, then you would be allowed to shehiyah. So we see then that the din of shehiyah, the rule of shehiyah, is actually quite limited. Shehiyah is only problematic if you're leaving a partially cooked dish on your stove. But if your dish was raw, or if your dish was already completely cooked, it would seem this Gemara is saying that shehiyah is not a problem, and you'd be allowed to leave it even on an open fire. So to summarize, the Gemara is telling us that a pot which has raw food inside of it, you are allowed to leave inside of a tanner, you're allowed to leave inside of an oven from Erev Shabbos, given that the dish will not be ready for the Friday night meal, and it will be ready for the Shabbos day meal without stirring the coals, and therefore you're not going to be worried about this pot, and you're not going to come to stir the coals to raise the heat. So we see here something surprising. We see that a food which started to cook but has not yet hit Ma'achal B'Dersai, which the Gemara termed Bashel V'Lei Bashel, is worse with respect to shehiyah than a food which is completely raw. The reason being that if the food started to cook, there's some chance the food's going to be ready for the Friday night meal. And therefore, there's a concern that a person is going to try to speed up the cooking process and stir the coals. In contrast, the food hasn't started to cook at all, there's no chance it's going to be ready for the Friday night meal. And therefore, you're not going to try to speed up the cooking process by stirring the coals. And the Shulchan Aruch actually passes this Gemara la'alacha and says there's no issue of shehiyah, there's no problem of leaving a pot inside of an oven or on top of a stove if the contents of the pot are not yet cooked, only if the contents of the pot are partially cooked. Now, the Gemara had added that if you had a dish which had begun to cook, if you throw gar mechai, if you throw a raw bone into your pot, then you'd be allowed to shehiyah on this pot. So the question is, what sort of raw bone? Does it have to be meat, or could it be any type of food? So according to the Rambam, the Perush Mishnayos, he said it could be any type of food. He says, v'cheinim hoya hatav shel bashel v'li bashel, if your food was dish was partially cooked, v'nosen bei be'es hatman dover chai, and as you're insulating your food in the oven, you put something raw inside of the food, and he specifies what's this raw thing that you put into the dish, basar or yirakis, either meat or vegetables. It's permissible to leave it on top of the coals because you're not going to be occupied thinking about this dish. In interpreting the Perush Mishnayos, interpreting the Rambam's comment there, the Beis Yosef explains that what the Rambam meant to say is, although it's the case that vegetables do in fact cook very quickly, and they might be ready for the night meal, the very fact that you're putting something raw inside of your dish shows that you're not going to be paying heed, you're not going to be paying attention to your dish, and therefore she is okay. It's well known, however, that the Rambam often retracted what he said in Perush Mishnayos in his later work, the Yad HaChazaka. So here, in El Chashabes, the Yad HaChazaka, Sefer Zman in El Chashabes, Per Gimel, Lachaches, the Rambam writes, this heter of Gar Mechaya, of the raw bone, only applies to if you put in an Ever Chai, if you put in raw meat. At this point, that it needs to be specifically raw meat and not raw vegetables is the consensus amongst many other Rishonim. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah and some Rishon Gimel have called in Tas Paskins. He says, "Vidavke basar chai," that this trick of putting something raw into your dish to allow you to do shehiya is only true if you put in raw meat. She efshir lis bashel tzerich sutz halayla, which is meat wouldn't be able to cook for the night meal. Avo yerek v'shari dvar. Meaning, if you put in vegetables or other things which cook very quickly, the fact that, and this could be even meat for that matter, as in meat that cooks quickly, the fact that food is raw doesn't help you get out of the issue of shehiyah. So it seems that the Rishonim and the Mishnah Berurah have a pretty strong stance on only allowing you through this trick of putting something raw into your food or into your dish if we're dealing with raw meat. But the question is raw meat just a paradigm for something that takes a long time to cook? Or do they specifically mean raw meat and nothing else? So for example, let's say that you're making a vegetarian cholent in your crock pot. And when you make a cholent, there are some beans which take a long time to cook, and they certainly will not be ready for the night meal. They'll only be ready by the day meal because of the slow cooking process. So would you be allowed to make your vegetarian cholent in a crock pot without doing grifa uktima? Could you just put it in the crock pot as is? And we're going to see what's grifa and uktima for a crock pot. Grifa and uktima for a crock pot would be covering the knobs, covering the dials, covering the whatever it is you use to adjust the crock pot, and perhaps putting a tin foil at the bottom of the crock pot, and perhaps even putting some rocks at the bottom of your crock pot. But the question is, would you be allowed to make your vegetarian cholent in the crock pot without grifa uktima if we know that the contents are not going to be ready until the next day? So it seems pretty clear from the Chazon Ish that this case of vegetarian cholent would be permissible. So it comes out, the way the Chazon Ish is reading the Rambam, and the way, and the Mishnah Berurah for that matter, and the way that Rav Rimon is reading it, la'alacha, is that meat is just a paradigm for something that takes a long time to cook. But really, anything that would take a long time to cook would fall under this heter of kidra chaisa, of the raw pot, or gar machaya, the raw bone. The Chazon Ish applies this heter of something that will take a long time to cook, even to hot water. Chazon Ish says, al dvar hayoyre hakavua betanur, with respect to a pot, which is fixed inside of an oven, and you fill up this pot with a lot of water, or and then you light a low flame under the pot. And the fire is running all night. And only when you get up in the morning are the contents of the pot hot. But until then, the count is the pot or not. So Chazir says, Nirish Efshel Hakel, it would seem that you would be able to be lenient on this pot, even though the contents of the pot are not meat, but rather water. Since they take a long time to cook, it would be okay. And why? What's the grounds of that there? Midin Kidra Chaisa, we're going to apply this rule of the raw pot. Although it's the case that generally we say you wouldn't be allowed to put water, which is not even has not even begun to cook, on the fire before Shabbos, given that the water cooks very quickly. If the quantity of the water is so great that it takes longer to cook than it would take to cook meat, it would seem that the large quantity of water is similar to throwing a bone into your pot. So for the Chazon Ish, the critical question is the food going to be ready tonight? If the food will be ready tonight, then it would be a problem to leave it on the fire. But if you know the food won't be ready in the morning, it doesn't matter what type of food it is. And it doesn't matter if it would cook quickly in a smaller quantity. If quantitatively and qualitatively, you know this food will not be ready until tomorrow, you would be allowed to leave the pot on the fire. It is, however, important to emphasize this heter, this leniency of Kidra Chaisa, the raw pot, is only said with respect to a food which has not yet begun to cook. But if it began to cook, you wouldn't be allowed to leave it on a stovetop, which is not Gufa Ktuma, even if it's obvious to us that the food will not be cooked until the Shabbos day meal. Now, what does it mean the food has begun to cook? As in, you're allowed to put your raw pot on the fire before Shabbos. Once it's begun to cook, you lose your heter, you lose your leniency of Kidra Chaisa. So the Mishnah Berurah says the cooking process begins once the dish has become hot. And the Chazon Ish says the relevant heat threshold is Yad Soled Espo. So we've established a temperature threshold, but when does the clock start? As in, at what point does your food have to be hot or have to be Yad Soled Espo in order for it to be no longer considered a Kidra Chaisa? So from the Magen Avraham Mishnah Berurah, it seems that we look at how hot the food is at Shkiyas Hachem. So the idea would be that you need to put your pot on the fire, either cold or frozen, immediately before Hadlakas Neiris, like right before Hadlakas Neiris, because otherwise, by the time Shabbos comes in, the pot will no longer be considered a Kidra Chais, it will already be considered a Kidra Mevusheles, a cooked pot. A further issue is that once you put your Kidra Chaisa on the stove, you also wouldn't be allowed to lift up the pot cover. Because as we've seen, lifting up the pot cover and then putting the cover back on will be considered to be speeding up the cooking process, and then you'll be considered to have cooked on Shabbos. To summarize the topic of Kidra Chaisa, it's permissible to put before Shabbos, even on an open flame, a dish which is not at all cooked yet, and which won't be ready until Shabbos day, as it won't be ready even if you would turn up the fire. You should put the dish on the stove very close to Hadlakas Neiris, very close to candle lighting, in order to make sure that it's not going to hit the threshold of Yad Soledes until Shkiel. And once you put the pot on the fire, you have to be careful not to lift the pot cover, because by lifting up the pot cover that and putting the pot cover back on, that'll be considered Bishul. So now let's summarize. Under what circumstances is it okay to do Shehiyah, to leave a dish on a fire, which is not Garofikotum, which is not, at least in the ancient conception, Garuf would mean that the coals were swept out, Kotum means the coals were covered, but practically that means over, in what context are you allowed to leave a pot over a fire which is adjustable? So if your dish is completely raw and it won't be ready for the Friday night meal, then it would be permissible to leave this dish on the fire. And the fire doesn't have to be garf or kotum, the fire could be adjustable. You just have to be careful not to lift up the pot cover. What if the contents of the pot have begun to cook, but they haven't yet hit Mevushal Kamaychal Ben Drusai? They haven't been half cooked or one third cooked. Then it would be absolutely forbidden to put your pot on top of a adjustable flame. What if your dish is Mevushal Kamaychal Ben Drusai? So then, according to Ashkenazi opinion, you would be allowed to leave your dish on the fire without Grifu Ktima, as in even if the flame is adjustable. And according to most readings in the Shulchan Aruch, most Sfaradim would also be allowed to leave the dish on the fire. And finally, if your dish is Mevushal Kol Tzarkei, if it's completely cooked And it's mitstamik viraloi, meaning to say that additional cooking is going to be problematic, is not going to be good for its quality, then it would be mutter to leave this dish on a fire which is not garfakatum, on a fire which is adjustable. So by this point, we've laid out all the primary concepts that you need to know for shehiyah, at least in the abstract. We know what shehiyah is. We know the din for shehiyah by something that was cooked, kemeichel ben dersoi. We've learned about the concept of garfakatum, and we learned about the kidra chaisa, the raw pot of meat, and the gar machaya, the raw bone. But we really haven't discussed the contemporary metzias, the contemporary reality of how do you do grufo k'tuma, how do you do a proper shehiyah, how do you leave a pot on the stove in the contemporary reality? How do we relate to blechs, how do we relate to those metal covers that you put on top of the flames, and how do we relate to platas, to Shabbos hot plates? So for the remainder of this year, we're going to try to explore the contemporary reality and how you should go about doing shehiyah in the contemporary kosher kitchen. We learned that it's forbidden to be mashet, it's forbidden to leave on top of an open flame a dish which had begun to cook but did not yet hit the threshold of Meichel ben Drusai. The reason being that a person might come to stir the coals, a person might come to raise the flame in order to have hot food for the Friday night meal. And for that reason, Chazal allowed people to be masha. They allowed people to leave pots on the fire so long as they swept out the coals, grifa, or if they choked the coals, if they did ketima. So how should we relate to a covered fire? Like a fire that's covered by an aluminum pan, which is called a blech. Is that considered ketima? And how to relate to a plata? So in order to understand this, we need to understand why it is that you're allowed to use a kira k'tuma, why you're allowed to use a stove whose coals have been choked. I understand that by grifa, if I swept out the coals, it makes sense. There's no coals left, so there's no possibility of the heat being raised. But if it's katum, if the fire has only been covered, it's only been choked with ash, why does that allow you to leave food on your stovetop? So Rashi explains that the purpose of ketima is that the purpose of the ash, the purpose of what you're covering your coals with, is in order to cover them, but B, it's also to cool them down. And that's also what the Torah writes, similarly, the way the Torah understands in Rashi, that you covered the coals with ash, lima'it chuma, to lower the heat. That's also what the Shulchan Aruch writes. And why is it that diminishing the heat allows you to do shehiyah? So apparently, if you diminish the heat, that shows you're not going to be running to raise the heat on Shabbos. The Rambam has a similar take. There in Nechel Shabbos, Perek Gimel, Lachadal, he teaches us, lefikach im gorath ha'esh, if you swept out the fire, or if you covered the stove's fire with ash, it would be permissible to leave food on such a stovetop. Because by taking an action of gifuk tima, you've demonstrated that you're not paying attention to this dish. And we're not concerned that you might come to stir the fire. So according to this, it comes out that ketima is more a matter of perspective than a matter of reality. And for that reason, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ran all explain that there's no need for full ketima. There's no need to fully cover the coals. But rather, it's sufficient to just put a symbolic amount of ash on top of the coals. And thereby, you're demonstrating that you're not so concerned about heating up this dish and that you're not running to make sure that's piping hot. To quote the Rashba tells us, Kevin shekotam ktsas, once you've choked the fire a little bit, you've put in a little bit of ash, mochacha milsa, it's clear, it's proven, shehu misya'ish mimeno, ve'eni reitze b'chituyoi, that a person has given up on making sure that his food is piping hot, and he's not going to look to raise the flame. And that also seems to emerge in the Gemara, in the Flam and Zayin Amun Aleph, which says that even if you put an oyrishal pishton, even if you put a little bit of flax over the fire, and that little bit of flax is not going to completely choke the fire, that would be sufficient for the coals to be considered ketumim, for them to have been considered covered or choked. The Ramach, who's one of the interpreters, one of the Mefarshim on the side of the Yad HaChazak, on the side of the Rambam Mishnah Torah, gives an alternative reason for why is that we do Ktima, which is going to have even more lenient ramifications. And he writes, V'atam anachin, mishum da'ovid heker, kevan shegarav haikotam, v'loy osi lichtui. The correct reason, the true reason, as to why it is that Ktima makes it such you'd be allowed to do Shehiel, is that you're making a heker. You're making it obvious, you're making it clear that it's Shabbos, and that you shouldn't be adjusting the coals. And since you made that heker, you're not going to come to adjust the temperature of the coals. So for the Ramach, it's not even an issue of Hesach Hadas. It's not an issue of once you've done the Ktima, you're not thinking about the dish anymore. You might be thinking about the dish, but you're just reminding yourself that it's Shabbos, and therefore you shouldn't adjust the temperature. So now, according to this, we're able to understand whether or not a blech would be sufficient to deal with the issue of ketima, and whether a blech would make your stove be considered garuf or katum. Certainly, according to the Ramach, who says the idea of ketima is to remind you not to adjust the temperature, not to stir the coals, it would seem to make sense that covering the fire would be a sufficient reminder. Although some might say that merely putting an aluminum sheet on top of the fire, on top of the burners, is not sufficient. The aluminum sheet would have to bend down and cover the knobs, and you'll see most contemporary blechs are made such that they curve to cover the knobs. And even according to the reason of most Rishonim, who say that it's not an issue of heker, but rather an issue of hesach hadas, to show that you're no longer concerned about the dish, we saw that most Rishonim think that a symbolic action, just a little bit, is enough. We saw that in the Vashpa, we saw the Gemara Sar in the Erishal Pishton, that only a small covering would be enough to do Ketima. However, we should know that we saw in Rashi in the Torah that what allows Ketima, why Ketima works, is because Ketima, according to them, facilitates miut hachoyim. It's a diminishment of the heat. So if that's the case, a blech doesn't appreciably diminish the heat. So maybe, according to Rashi in the Torah, a blech would not be considered proper grief or ktima. And the Chaznish, in fact, paskins that a blech would not work, a blech would not be considered proper ktima. And to make matters worse, the Chaznish says not only is it the case that we learn from Rashi, who said lemait chuma. Rashi said that the blech is meant to diminish the heat, that a blech is not okay. But we can see further from the Gemara that Rashi holds that a blech is not okay. We learn in Maseches Shabbos of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph a question with respect to putting a dish close to a kira, meaning close to an oven, meaning it's not on the stove itself, but it's close to the stovetop. The Gemara asks, Ibayluhu, the question was asked, are you allowed to put your dish close to the oven or stove before Shabbos, such that it'll heat up? So Gemara says, to put your pot into the stove or onto the stove. And we should note that the way the stoves were made back in the day, as we explained before, but the idea being that the pots were inserted into the stovetops, and then there would be coals at the bottom of the structure, which would heat up the pot. So teich v'gab aser, to put your pot into the stove or onto the stove would be forbidden. Aval l'smech ba shapir dami, but to put your dish next to the pot would be permissible. Oydil malishna, or perhaps the Gemara suggests putting your pot next to the stove is still going to be problematic because there's still heat coming out from the stove, which is going to be heating up your pot. But in any event, we do see clearly that the Gemara says that being masha, that leaving your pot al gaba, on top of the stove, is problematic. What does it mean to leave your pot on top of the stove? So Rashi helpfully explains that gaba means oivi svasa, on top of the opening of the stove, or alternatively, and this is important, to put the pot on top of the cover that's on top of the stove. So the Chaznish learns from here that kisoy sha'al chalala means that Rashi is saying that it would be problematic to put a pot even on top of a covered stovetop if it's merely covered. So therefore, it would be problematic to use a blech on Shabbos. Now, the Gos Mordechai has an important heter. The Gos Mordechai Zerishin, he has an important heter for how you might be able to do shahir, how you might be able to leave something on a stovetop. He says that if you have a kedera hafucha, and this is a overturned pot, an empty overturned pot, you'd be allowed to shahir on top of that kedera hafucha. And his rationale is, shara kedera seisemes es hakira. The pot covers over the stove. And Shulchan Aruch, and Ration Gimel, Siv Gimel says that Kedera Hafucha would be considered a good means of grief uktim. The Chazanish argues, however, that a blech doesn't accomplish the same thing as a Kedera Hafucha. He says, Vihine, ho demahaniyev sekedera konis, that which the Mordechai said, that a intervening empty pot would be sufficient to render your stove grief uktuma, nire de havashinoi. The reason why is because it's an abnormal thing to put an overturned pot on your stove. The ain derech bishul b'kach. Nobody cooks that way. V'gam memait esachoyim harbe. Also, it significantly diminishes the heat that's conveyed to the food. Avol, when it comes to the blech, hakisoy, the covering, the blech, shedarke b'kach. First of all, people will often normally cook with an aluminum cover or some other cover over their flame. That's one. And two, the enemy might chaim kolkach. And second, this aluminum sheet doesn't diminish the heat so much. Hu bechlal al gabal. So that would fall into the Gemara's category of still being on top of the stove. So according to the Chazon Ish, covering your stove with a blech isn't sufficient to demonstrate you're being masiach das, that you removed your mind, you removed your attention from the dish. Given that this action is not so out of the ordinary, it also doesn't so sufficiently diminish the heat. In contrast, if you put an overturned pot, a keder hafucha, the keder hafucha has both virtues. First of all, the keder hafucha is very strange. People don't normally cook that way. And second of all, it does significantly diminish the heat. And the Chazon Ish explicitly writes that a blech is not good. He says, shehiya de nog baritzino agadesha, the shehiya that's done in our holy land, shepsilas eish lamata tachas apitput, that you have a flame under the grate, the shreif sinagdeir lamayla apitput. He's explaining how stoves work. And you put a pot on top of the grate, and the fire is under the walls of the pot, is under the bottom of the pot. That's considered a non-garuf stove. So meaning to say that normal stoves are not considered to be garuf. And even if you put a metal blech, you put a sheet of metal underneath the pot, that, he says, is not considered like putting an empty, overturned pot as an intervening break. This will only be considered putting the pot on top of its cover. That would be considered what the Gemara said was problematic, which is not a good shehiyah, that it's like you put it on top of the stove. So we see that the Chazon Ish pretty strongly thinks that a blech doesn't work. But if you go to Jewish houses all around the world, you'll see that it's very common, it's perhaps pervasive, that people use a blech on top of their stove in order to keep food warm through Shabbos. So where does this come from? Sigrist Moshe says that a blech is considered gruf uktuma. And the Gerus Moshe explains that when Rashi in the Torah said that putting a pot al gaba, putting a pot on a metal sheet, or whatever other sort of sheet, would not be considered gruf uktum, that was referring to a time period in which it was normal to cook that way. But now Rav Moshe says, nobody cooks with a blech. The only people who cook with blechs are Orthodox Jews who are having food heated up on Shabbos. Therefore, says Moshe, it's enough of a deviation to be considered a heker in order to be considered a gar for vikatu. Similarly, the Shevet HaLevi, a Chassid Shaposek, who is a student of the Chazon Ish, also says that a blech is okay, a blech is fine for leaving food to warm on Shabbos. And he also adds that the critical point to allow Shia is not diminishing the heat, but rather there being a heker and a shinoi, some deviation, and something that reminds you that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. And that's enough for something to be considered gar v'kato. The Shevet HaLevi in his Shotim Chelek Aleph, Simin Tzadi Aleph, writes, Devandei Pshitus Divrei Gaz Mardachai Marin, Demishum HaGufal, the Ish Mechosa, who dehetir. When the Agos Mardachai allowed you to have a kedera afucha, an overturned pot on top of your fire, his rationale is not primarily that you're diminishing the heat, but only the fact that the fire is covered. After achayim nishikiv atchila, even though you have the same heat as before, dilein gufok tumal in lanu b'chayim klum. Heat is not a relevant factor in terms of making something gar v'kato. Kevan da'ikar mishum b'chashchitoy, since the primary concerns are going to adjust the flame. And now that we understand that the primary issue by Grifuk Tima, what makes something Gar V'Katum, is making a heker, making something which shows that you're not going to adjust the flame, we understand why there's no issue from the Gemara that Chazanish brought as a proof that a blech doesn't work. So the Imkain, Bevadle Katle Kosha, Mehai, the Kisui Kira, Shakasu Rashi Vator, the Le Mahani. When Rashi said that the covering for a stove is not sufficient to be grifuk tima, that's no problem for the blech. The hasam, because in Rashi in the Torah's circumstances, hu akisu haragil shemesimin alav b'chol yayin, that was the normal cover that they would use to cover the flame on anything. Mashinkin basically they rekonis alakira she'ein darka liis sham mutter. But in contrast, when you put an overturned pot on top of your stove, which is not normally there, then that's considered a shiyah that would be okay. Dehavi kegrufuk tuma, behal levad she'ish mechosa vein ragal liyesha. It's gar v'katum simply by virtue of the fact that the fire is covered and that you usually don't have a cover there. V'yemkein wadin lahani pachem agdoilim shemesimin al pitput. So the Shevet Levi says, if that's the case, then the same should be true of those aluminum sheets that we put on top of our stove grates. The Einan Doimim Klal Kisarugal Shal Akira, because they're completely dissimilar to what you normally use to cover your stove. Meaning normally you only have grates, or you might have some small cover, but no one ever puts a blech on their stove in normal circumstances. So from the fact you're putting a blech on your stove, that shows that this is a heker to make sure that you're not going to adjust the flame. Now, interestingly, the Tashbetz Katan, a Rishon who lived in the 1300s, said it was permissible to put a dish on top of a sheet that's on top of your oven, even on Shabbos itself. So it would seem that the issue of the blech was already discussed in the 1300s, and even before, since the Tashbetz is quoting the name of the Maram, and it was okay, according to the early Rishonim, or at least according to the Tashbetz, the name of the Maram, to use a blech. And the Magen Avraham and the Mishabura both accept this Tashbetz, so it would seem, according to them, the blech would be okay. Similarly, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says explicitly that if your stove is covered with a blech, it's considered gar v'katum. And finally, Rav Avad Yosef is a shocking kula. Rav Avad Yosef says that contemporary stoves don't need to be gar v'katum at all. You don't need a blech at all. So certainly it's the case, according to Rav Avad Yosef, that the blech that we use nowadays is more than sufficient. What's Rav Avad's rationale? So he says that when you would cook with coals back in the day, coals are a very unreliable way to cook. And as time goes on, the coals begin to dim. The coals don't have such a consistent flame. And the reason why there was a whole gzeirah of Shem Yechat B'Cholim, you might come to stir the coals to begin with, is because you're dealing with an inconsistent way of heating your food. But with our contemporary stoves, the heat remains constant. So there's never a concern that you might come to play with the fire. So we see that the overwhelming majority of Achronim, and there's even support for this in the Rishonim, hold that a blech will be okay. We saw the Igros Moshe thinks it's okay, the Shevet HaLevi thinks it's okay, the Tashbetz Katan, the Rishon, thinks that that's okay, and he's cited by the Magen Avraham Mishnah Brura. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, who's known as a very big machmir, says that a blech is okay, at least for the purpose of Shia. And Rav Avadia Yosef says you don't need a blech at all. You don't need Gufuk Tum at all. So certainly contemporary blechs would be okay. So lemaisa, a blech is considered, as it makes your stove, considered grufuk tumah. And that'll be true both for the purposes of shehiyah and for the purposes of Chazara, as we'll explore in the next year. When it comes to an electric hot plate, we can be even more lenient because the hot plate is never intended for cooking. It's only meant to keep food warm. So Rav Mimon argues that it would make sense that Chazan Ish, who said that a blech wasn't okay, would say that a plata, a Shabbos hot plate, would be considered grufo k'tumah. And Rav Yaron did not make that one up. That's actually thought to be the case by many contemporary Yahud. But Rav Yaron emphasizes that we're done with this plata. What's permitted according to everyone is shehiya. It would be permissible to leave food on the plata from before Shabbos into Shabbos. But when it comes to hachazara, which will be the topic of the next year, which means putting food back onto a plata, or nesin lechatchila, putting food on a plata to begin with, there things are more murky, things are more complex, and there are more grounds for stringency. Before moving on, let's review what type of shehiya would have been okay with ancient stoves, and what type of shehiya is okay with contemporary stoves. When you're dealing with an ancient stove, if the material that you used to heat up the stove was straw, then there would be no problem of stirring the coals. There's no concern of stirring the coals because straw just burns up and doesn't turn into coals. And therefore, you'd be allowed to put a dish on the fire from before Shabbos. And there would be no concern of shehiya. If, however, you fired up your stove with wood, with etzim, or with gefes, with olive pulp, or effectively any material which doesn't just get burned up, but actually turns into coals, then it would be prohibited to put a dish on top of a stove which is fired up with such substances, the concern being that you might come to stir the coals to raise the heat. However, if you did grief or k'tima, if you swept out the coals, or alternatively, if you covered them with ash, then you would be allowed to leave a dish on top of such a fire. So the question becomes, in the contemporary reality, what's the analog with contemporary stoves? How do we relate to a plata, to a Shabbos hot plate, or to a covered flame? Would you be allowed to shehiya? Would you be allowed to leave dishes on your covered flame or hot plate from before Shabbos? So Rav Mimon showed us that the reason is going to be contingent on how to relate to ketumah. Why is that ketima, why is that covering the ashes, is good with respect to shehiya? So we saw that Rashi in the Torah said that ketima is good because it diminishes the heat, and it expresses that you have no longer have any interest in heating up this dish. So as I just said, that a blech would be insufficient, because a blech doesn't sufficiently lower the heat. In contrast to Rashi and the Torah, who say that the heat needs to be diminished, we saw that the Rashba and the Ramban think that a symbolic act alone is sufficient to be considered Hesach Hadas. Or alternatively, we saw the Ramach says you don't even need Hesach Hadas, as long as you have a heker, as long as you have some reminder that you're not meant to be mixing the coals, or you're not meant to be adjusting the heat, that would be sufficient to allow you to do shehiya. So therefore, most poskim rule, and the widespread Jewish custom is, that covering the fire, that a blech, is sufficient, because it's not normal to cook using the blech, and therefore your stove would be considered grufo k'tumah, and it's certainly the case that a platash al Shabbat, that a Shabbos hot plate, would be sufficient, would be considered good grufo k'tumah. Until now, we discussed the idea of making contemporary stove grufo k'tumah by using a blech, by using a metal sheet to cover the top of your stove. But might there be an easier way to make grufo k'tumah? Maybe if you tape the knobs of your stove, that would be considered grufo k'tumah, since by taping knobs of your stove, you can't adjust the stove. So Rav Mimon suggests this is going to depend on the machlokas we saw and the dispute we saw with respect to the reason as to why it's permissible to do shehiya, to leave a food on top of a kira k'tumah, on top of a oven or stove whose ashes have been covered. If we follow the Ramach, who says that the idea of k'tima is just to make a heker, is just to remind you of the fact that you're not meant to be cooking on Shabbos, you're not meant to be adjusting the flame on Shabbos, then it would seem that covering or taping the knobs should be an excellent heker. But if we follow the Ramban and the Rashba, who say that it's about Hesach Hadas, the k'tima demonstrates that you're no longer paying attention to the cooking process, then taping the knobs might not help, because taping the knobs doesn't change the cooking process at all. Rav Moshe Feinstein understood that you dafka need a blech and that taping the knobs is insufficient. He writes, Merely covering the knobs and not covering the fire will not help you. Because what's necessary, what's primary, is you need to demonstrate that your intention is to lower the heat, to lower the compressed, to be less involved in the compressors. And that's more obvious if you're covering the fire. However, even if we don't say that covering the knobs is considered ketima, it's possible that covering the knobs might allow us to be lenient for another reason. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis teaches that it's permissible to leave meat inside of an oven which is not garfe katum if the opening of the oven, if the door of the oven, is covered with cement or covered with clay. How does the clay or cement help? So Rashi says that the clay or cement is made in such a way that in order to access the meat, you're going to have to break the clay covering. And until you break the clay covering, as you're trying to break it, you remember that you're not meant to adjust the heat. The Rambam, however, understands that the covering the oven with tit, covering the oven with clay, is only because you have this particular type of meat which will be damaged by any air. So therefore, this particular meat, the covering of the oven with the cement is going to make it such that you're not going to adjust the flame. But the Rambam would say that it only applies to this particular meat, and for everything else, covering your oven with cement would be insufficient. So for Rashi, sealing your oven is a heter that works in all cases, whereas according to the Rambam, it only works in the specific case of this type of meat. So this machlokes has practical ramifications in our sugya. Is it permissible to leave a dish on top of your stove when you covered its knobs and then you taped the knobs such that you're not going to be able to turn the knobs on Shabbos? According to Rashi, seemingly this would be mutter, since it's very similar to an oven which was sealed with cement. Just as in the case of the oven which is sealed with cement, the reason why it's permissible to leave things inside of the oven is because you're not going to adjust the flame, so too in this case, the taped knobs are going to serve as a reminder. In contrast, according to the Rambam, taped knobs will be insufficient because the heter of sealing the oven only applies to a certain restricted case and not to all cases. La halacha, the Shulchan Aruch was stringent like Rambam, whereas the Ramah is lenient like Rashi. The Ramah writes in Siman Reish Dal Tzif Aleph, the Yesh Soivrin de Betaner Tuach Betit Hakol Shari. Some say that if your oven is sealed with cement, anything's permitted. The Chazanish rules like the Ramah, he says that if you lock your oven, then there's no issue of Shehiyah. And similarly, the same would apply if you tape your knobs. If your knobs are taped such that you wouldn't be able to adjust the knob without removing the tape, then even if only your knobs are covered and the flames are not covered, Ashkenazim could consider such a stove to be grufu ketuma. And that comes out to be a much easier way to allow Shehiyah than putting on a blech. In contrast, Sfaradim Mufa'al Shulchan Aruch could not be lenient in this case, and Sfaradim would actually have to use a blech which covers the flames. That said, even though we have this heter for Ashkenazim based on the Gemara and the Psak of the Ramah following Rashi and ultimately in the Chazon Ish, generally even Ashkenazim accept to be machmir on both counts. They're machmir to both cover the flames and to cover the knobs. And that's what you'll see. Most blechs are a metal sheet which curves over and also covers the knobs. However, Me'ikar Adin, let's say you're in a tight spot, you're out of town traveling, and you don't have a proper blech. So for Ashkenazim, it would be sufficient to either just purchase an aluminum sheet which will cover the flames, or to just tape the knobs. And for Sfaradim, all you need to do is purchase an aluminum sheet, or perhaps a heavy aluminum foil, which will cover the flames. To summarize this topic, it is possible to turn a contemporary stove into garfe katum, which would allow you to leave a dish from Erev Shabbos into Shabbos once the dish has hit the threshold of Meichel Ben Drusai. The easiest way to do this is just by covering the flames. However, for Ashkenazim, if you only tape the knobs and don't cover the flames, that too will be sufficient. But Lemaisa, pretty much everyone is stringent and makes sure to cover both the flames and the knobs. So now that we've established that in a contemporary reality, using a blech will render your modern stove grufu ketuma. So now you have a grufu ketuma stove. What types of food are you allowed to leave on your grufu ketuma stove as Shabbos comes in? Can you leave in any food? Can you only leave raw food? Could you only leave food that's cooked up to Meichel Ben Drusai? So we're going to see that practically speaking, the achra is, the accepted halachic ruling is, that you'd be allowed to leave any food in any situation on top of your blech. Ideally, you should only leave fully cooked food on top of your blech before Shabbos comes in. But that said, let's explore the discussion. When it comes to an open flame, you're only allowed to leave a food which hit Meichel Ben Drusai or which is not cooked at all on top of that open flame. However, you're not allowed to leave a dish which began to cook but did not yet hit Meichel Ben Drusai, since there's a concern that you might come to adjust the flame in order to speed up the cooking. When it comes to a Kira Grufa Uktuma, however, when it comes to a stove whose flame is such that you can't adjust it, there's no concern that you're going to adjust the flame. And therefore, there's no issue of Shehiyah. So therefore, seemingly, it would be permissible to leave on that Kira any sort of food at all, even if it's not yet hit Meichel Ben Drusai. And the same would apply to a covered flame or a Plata, which are considered a Grufa Uktuma. Nonetheless, even though the issue of Shehiyah does not apply to a Kira, which is a Grufa Uktuma, there might be grounds for disallowing Shehiyah on such a stovetop. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Hilchos Amud Beis says that you should not leave a pot on top of a stove. If your cooking dies inside of the pot, if you're dying something inside of the pot, the concern is you might come to stir the pot. So seemingly it would come out that Grufa Uktuma doesn't help you here, because so long as the dish is not completely cooked, there's still a concern that you might stir the pot. And as we saw in the sixth year of the series, stirring is considered cooking. However, Tosfos suggests that this concern of stirring the pot only applies to a pot in which you're dying things. And the reason being that when it comes to dying, you're constantly stirring the pot. Whereas if you're cooking, you only stir the pot once in a while. You only stir the pot a little bit. And in fact, most Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, all say that it's permissible to leave a pot, or any pot, in whatever state it is, on top of the Kira, which is Grufa Uktuma. Given that there's no concern that you're going to adjust the flame, we're also not concerned that you're going to stir the pot. To clarify, the Ramban and the Rashba have a slightly different formulation. They say that there's a klal of ein hagasa acher hagasa. There's no concern of stirring after stirring. The first stirring of the pot is the significant stirring of the pot, and any further hagasa, any further stirring, is not prohibited. So the assumption is that if you put the pot on the flame before Shabbos, you'll at least have stirred it once, so any further stirring is not going to be an issue. Now there's an important ran to mention here, which Rav Arye Leibowitz says is the ran, which you have to know when you learn Siman Reish and Gimel, when you learn about Shehiyah. The Ran says, there in Yud Zayin Amud Beis B'dapei Rif, Dibur Masel V'Nimtzu, he says, Kiro Gufu K'tuma Mashin Olao Kol Tavshil Sheba Olam. When it comes to a stove, which has been either swept, the ashes have been swept out or covered, you're allowed to leave on top of that stove any dish you want. The cave and the lekala mechash lechitoi, there's no concern that you're going to stir the coal, there's no concern you're going to adjust the flame. Afal pi shemizbash me'ela b'shabes, shari. So even though the food continues to cook on Shabbos, there's no concern that you're going to take some act to be involved in the cooking process, you can leave whatever sort of dish you want on top of the flame. It could be raw, it could be less than Meichel Ben Drusai, it could be more than Meichel Ben Drusai. You're allowed to leave it on this kira that's Grufa Uktuma. And that also appears to be the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and some Rishon Gimel, Sif Aleph, that he says that you'd be allowed to leave any sort of dish on top of a kira Grufa Uktuma, even if it is yet to hit Meichel Ben Drusai. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger takes a more stringent position. Rabbi Akiva Eger, basing himself on the Ramach, who's quoted in the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam in Perek Tes, which is the Rambam's discussion of Hilchos Mishnah Midraisa, he says that only when it comes to something that already hit the shear of Meichel Ben Drusai should we not be concerned about stirring the pot. Because stirring the pot is actually an Isser of Bishul, not just a rabbinic Isser of Shehiyah. So according to that, even if you have a gear Grufa Uktuma, even though you've gotten rid of the problem of Shehiyah, you haven't gotten rid of the problem of Gzeirah Shel Yagos, you might come to stir the pot. And therefore, the only sorts of foods that you'd be allowed to leave on your Shabbos hot plate or on your stovetop would be foods that hit the threshold of Meichel Ben Drusai. So how do we rule? What's the halacha? Are we concerned for Rabbi Akiva Eger's Chumrah? Or do we follow the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch, who says that it's permissible to leave on this Shabbos hot plate before Shabbos anything, even if it hasn't yet reached Meichel Ben Drusai? So in this context, Rav Hirschel Schachter, in his book with Pnei Harav, which talks about stories of Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, the Goyin Av Bezdin of Boston, and the famous Hashiva of YU, Rav Schachter brings a story of a couple who once came to Rav Soloveitchik and they wanted to get a divorce. And this story has become very popular in YU circles and in circles that read Rav Schechter's book, Mekhtinei HaRav, so you'll always get to hear it quoted in a shir on Shias. The couple wanted to get divorced. Why did this young couple in Boston want to get divorced? Well, because the woman was lenient, like the Ran, against Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The wife would put cold water on top of the covered fire on Shabbos, right before Shabbos came in. And she argued that's what she saw by her mother. In contrast, the husband argued that he remembers that his mother was very serious about making sure that the water would be cooked before Shabbos came in. So Rav Soloveitchik answered that there actually are different minhagim here. In Litha and Lithuania, the Jews were more lenient following the Shulchan Aruch, whereas in Galicia, they were machmir, they were stringent like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rav Schechter quotes, "Omnom loy kidai lisgari shel davar kazeh." It's not worth getting divorced in something like this. Now, just as an aside, if you're a rabbi or if you're a halachic Jew who listens to advanced shiurim and bishul, so people come to ask their halachic questions to you, and the couple wants to get divorced over some issue in halacha, we have a Kabbalah from the Halakha Rish Kilel in Kila Kadosh of Crown Heights, Kilel Menachem, Rav Yosef Rama Levi Heller. He says that when people ask questions in halacha, very often there's something personal that's underlying the question. And when we look at this story, what was probably going on was probably something deeper than just machlekes between the husband and the wife, that the woman was more meka like the Shulchan Aruch, and the husband was more stringent like Rabbi Akiva Eiger. There's probably something deeper, something more critical in the marriage, might have had nothing to do with halacha. And of course, a rabbi who's responding to such a case needs to more critically interrogate what's really going on in the marriage and what's really underlying the seeming mere halachic dispute. And surely Rav Soloveitchik did in fact ascertain what was going on, but Rav Schechter doesn't quote that part of the story in Mipnei Harav. The Mishnah Berurah does not quote this Chumra of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, however he does mention it in the Bir Halacha, and he says that Din Zeh ain't a Barur, it's not clear what we should do, should we be stringent like Rabbi Akiva Eiger or not? The Chazanish also mentions Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Chumra, implying that we might actually have to take Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Chumra seriously. However, both the Shvi'is Shabbos and Rishon Mizon Orbach both say you can be lenient like the Shulchan Aruch. Rishon Mizon Orbach writes in Chashlei Mechelik Beis and Yud Beis, "B'Shulchan Aruch Mevur." It's clearly explained in Shulchan Aruch, "De Begrufa Uktuma," in a case where you can't adjust the flame, "Loi Chayshinan Lagos." There's no concern that you're going to stir the pot. Vehena Minog, and that is the accepted halachic practice. And Rabbi Vadi Yosef is also Mekel; he's also lenient. Rav Moshe suggests that it's pretty obvious that we should be lenient like the Shulchan Aruch here, and that's for a few reasons. First of all, even Rabbi Akiva Eiger, who suggests the Chumra, didn't say explicitly to be Machmir. He only said that it's possible that you should be Machmir following certain Rishonim. Furthermore, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says the Minog is to be lenient. So therefore, it seems, as a Rimon, that we should be lenient, and you can put any sort of dish you want on top of your Grufa Uktuma stove, whether it's fully cooked, whether it's only Kamaichal Medrasai, whatever you like, you can put it on. We should know that everybody would agree that it's permissible to leave on a kir, which is Grufa Uktuma, a food which is totally raw, because the Gemara would allow you to leave such a food even on an open flame, as we saw in the discussion of a Kidra Chaisa. And here, there'd be no concern of Hagasa, there'd be no concern that you're stirring the pot, just like there's no concern that you might come to adjust the flame. Because the assumption is, by Kidra Chaisa, since you know it's not going to be ready until tomorrow anyway, you're not going to be so concerned about making sure that it's ready for tonight, and you're not going to be thinking about this pot, you're just going to leave it be. Similarly, even according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Chumra, you would be allowed to leave on top of a Kir Grufa Uktuma, a dish which hit Meichel Ben Drusoy, but is not yet fully cooked. And the reason being that we allow you to leave such a dish even on an open flame. And the idea would be, just as when you leave such a dish on an open flame, we're not concerned that you're going to adjust the flame, since it's at least edible. So too, since it's edible, you're not going to come to stir the pot in order to speed up its cooking process. Furthermore, even if we were concerned that you're going to speed up the cooking process, many Rishonim hold there's no issue of cooking by something which already hit the threshold of Meichel Ben Drusoy, so therefore if you stirred it, it wouldn't even be forbidden. We also saw before in the name of the Chazon Ish that there would be no concern of Shehiya by a soup which had cooled off, or any cooked liquid which had cooled off, and it'd be permissible to do Shehiya, to leave it on your flame, even on an open flame. And certainly that would be the case when it comes to Kiyur Grufa Uktuma, even according to Rabbi Akiva Eiger's Chumra. And although it's the case, as we saw, that there is an issue of bishul achar bishul, of recooking, something that's a liquid, here we're not focusing on the halachic reality, but rather focusing on your perspective. Once something has already been cooked, the assumption is that a person is not going to be so concerned to reheat it. And therefore, there's no concern that either he'll raise the temperature or that he'll stir the pot. However, Rimon suggests that even though mi'ikar adin, even though according to the bottom line halacha, you would be allowed to leave on your Shabbos hot plate or on your blecht stove anything you want, even something which is not fully cooked, he suggests that you should make a practice at home to only put on your hot plate things which are fully cooked. And that's because there's two concerns. Number one is that you might come to take the cover off the pot, and by taking the cover off and putting it back on, that would be considered cooking. And also there's a concern that you might stir the pot or move around the pot or do something else to hasten the pot's cooking. So in summary, when it comes to a covered flame, when it comes to a blecht flame or a Shabbos hot plate, me'ikar adin, you'd be allowed to leave anything you want on the Shabbos hot plate in whatever situation it is. Doesn't matter whether it's raw, doesn't matter whether it's partially cooked. However, it's best to become habituated to leaving on your plata only a dish which is cooked. And that's for two reasons. First, we should be concerned for Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says there's a gzeir shemayagis, you might come to stir the pot, and then you'll have violated the prohibition of bishul. And second, there's a concern that if the dish has not yet hit Michael Ben Drusai, you might put the pot's cover on, take the pot's cover off, and thereby you're going to be over, you're going to transgress the Isser of Bishul. However, if you're in a pinch, if Ramon says that would be okay to tell the members of your family, make sure not to move the pot, make sure not to take the cover of the pot off, and then you would in fact be allowed to leave anything you want on top of your Shabbos hot plate or on top of your blech. So that ends our discussion of Shehiyah. Let's just briefly summarize our discussion of Shehiyah on a hot plate or on a covered flame. If your dish is completely raw, such that it wouldn't be ready for Suda Shabbos, you would be allowed to leave it on your plata, it would be completely mutter, but you should just remind people not to pick up the pot cover to move it around. What if your dish began to cook, but has not yet hit the threshold of Meichel Ben Drusai? So then you'd also be allowed to leave it on your Shabbos hot plate or on your blecht flame, but it's best not to do it if you don't need to. What if your dish has hit Meichel Ben Drusai? Then it would be permissible to leave it on top of your hot plate or on top of your blecht flame. And certainly, if it hit Mavash Kol Tzarkai, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Akiva Eger would say, that you're allowed to leave it on top of your blecht flame or on top of your hot plate. So that was quite a long discussion of Shehiyah. So let's review Shehiyah more broadly. So what's the Isser of Shehiyah? The Chum forbade leaving dishes on the fire before Shabbos, and the concern is that you might come to stir the coals in order to raise the fire. In the contemporary reality, you might come to turn the knobs or to press the buttons, which will make the flame go up. How then are you able to leave a dish on the fire before Shabbos, into Shabbos, in order that you have hot food, in order that you have, say, hot chicken or hot chicken soup? What should you do? So first, let's discuss leaving food in an open flame. You're allowed to leave food in an open flame if you have no interest in speeding up the cooking process. So what's an example of that? If you have a dish which is completely raw, which you call the Kidra Chaisa, which is not going to be ready anyway until the next day, then that you'd be allowed to leave on an open flame. Similarly, according to Ashkenazim and most Sfardim, if your dish is already cooked Kemaychel Ben Drusai, and if it's cooked Kemaychel Ben Drusai, that means that it's more or less edible, people would eat it in a pinch, then you'd also be allowed to leave it on top of your flame. And everyone agrees that if your food is mevoshkol tzarkai, that it's completely cooked, and it's mitstamik virali, that additional time on the flame is going to be bad for it, then you'd be allowed to leave it even in an open flame. So let's say a chicken soup, you'd probably be allowed to leave on an open flame because as it continues to cook, its quality deteriorates. So what then are you not allowed to put in an open flame? You're not allowed to put something which has begun to cook but has not yet hit the threshold of Ben Drusai, because in such a case, we're concerned that you might want to speed up the cooking process. So it comes out that Shehiyah is an important gzeira, but on the other hand, its scope is a little bit restricted. But that said, the best thing to do is to make sure that your contemporary stove is considered Grufo K'tuma. So what's Grufo K'tuma? So in the ancient reality, what it meant to be garaf and katam was garaf is that you swept out the coals. So if there are no coals, you can't adjust them. And katam means you cover the coals. And there are different conceptions of what covering the coals does in order to make it such that that's not considered to be a concern of raising the temperature. But in the modern reality, if your stove is covered with a blech, or alternatively, according to Ashkenazim, if you either tape the knobs of your stove or you remove the knobs of your stove such that you can't adjust the flame, then that would be considered garfikatum. And also Shabbos hot plate, which is non-adjustable, is considered garfikatum. And then fundamentally, once you have either a blecht stove or a Shabbos plat, a Shabbos hot plate, you can leave any dish you want on top of the Shabbos hot plate or on top of this blecht stove. Even if it started cooking and it's only less than Meichel Ben Drusa, you'd be allowed to leave it on. However, there are those who are machmir for Bikiv Eger, and they fundamentally treat this blecht stove, or this plata, much like they would treat an open flame, and ideally they would only leave something which is fully cooked, even on a Shabbos plata, or even on a blecht flame.